follow the messages on screen to read an updated version when information becomes available. This station will now see you on the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We are your hosts, Cam and Kobe, and we're ready to bring survival goodness direct to your ear holes.
Hey-oh. We are.
That is beautiful. That was just a beautiful opening.
Yeah.
Cameron, can you let the fine folks know what we're talking about today?
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about how to lug your fat butts around. Everybody's fat butt.
You're going
to
use a cuss word and then you stopped.
Fat fun. In an SHTF, WWEWWF, ASAP, and
LGBTQT scenario.
So everybody listen up.
Yeah. So we're talking about apocalyptic transportation today. So this isn't necessarily a bug out vehicle, episode,
no.
But it's
about,
it pertains
how
to it in some
lug
way.
Lug your fat butt around.
Yeah, exactly. How to get around when getting around is not so easy.
You need to learn how to get around in an apocalyptic scenario.
Yeah. And we got a tack pack to talk about today, right?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Guys, first, today's podcast is brought to you by Tac Pack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first Tac Pack with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com and join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That's 10% off with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com.
These are the guys that we're going to review today.
The Tac Pack. Mm-hmm. Guys, go check them out. Really quick, we have a giveaway going on right now until Monday. What day is Monday? Do you know the date?
It's the day before Tuesday.
It is the day before
after
Tuesday.
Sunday.
Right. So this coming Monday. It's like the 2nd of October or something like that. Anyways.
Let me see. It is the 2nd of October.
Okay. We're giving away a Gerber blade. It's a sweet little Gerber blade.
It is a really sweet Gerber blade.
So if you head to Facebook, you can see that it's pinned to the top of our Facebook, and you can enter that. And you're going to be super excited about it.
If you've ever used a Gerber blade, you're going to love this Gerber blade.
You sound like you're a little bit
drunk. It was a rough day.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I apologize.
Lots of sutures, lots of buttholes, lots of private parts I had to deal with.
Sutures and buttholes, the Cameron Hardy story.
I usually suture buttholes every day.
Yeah.
Listener, reviews starts now.
Ooh.
Does that me? Is that a cue for me?
Yeah. Go tell you. You take it today.
Social media?
Yeah.
I think I did it last week, but that's fine. Okay.
Dude, so, this isn't... Whatever. Just
not social media. Listener review.
Listener reviews.
So this is Zadok Mason Monteith.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So he says...
That's got to be a he.
These dudes are great. They have a lot of good info and seem like the kind of dudes I would like to drink a beer with and survive the robot uprising. We haven't talked about that yet.
No, why haven't we?
I don't know. Let's just change this episode and start talking about it.
Today we're talking about the robot uprising. That's inevitable.
Anyway, that's not what he said. Quote,
yeah.
I listen every week.
Quote.
Keep the tinfoil handy and keep doing what you're doing, guys. You're guys. Thanks, and stay frosty, Agenda 21.
Yes, sir. Thank you. If you would like to be part of this portion of the podcast, go to iTunes, go to Facebook, go to the Amazon book, and leave us a 5-star review. Make it freaking awesome.
Give us ideas like robot uprising.
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting that on the list.
There's
got to
be another, 2K? Was it 2000?
Y2K.
Y2K, that's what.
Right. 2K, NBA 2K. Y25.
2K5 NFL, right?
Social media shout out.
Holla back, y'all.
So this is a good one.
This really is. I want you guys to all go check out iconic.inc, at iconic.inc.
Make sure you do iconic.inc, because there's an iconic, eye drop solution or something
That's a bad thing. I'm just saying
you can have
this
as much solution, but we're not giving away the eye solution.
Yeah. So these guys have a really, really, really cool solar backpack that's ready to come out. I think it's Indiegogo, right, that they're doing?
Yeah.
So their campaign starts October 3rd. Put that down on your prepper calendar.
That's Tuesday.
Oh, that's the same damn day.
No, Monday is the 2nd.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this solar backpack is really cool.
Why, hell?
What? Okay.
Two in one day.
It has anti-theft pockets, lockable zipper pulls. Each pack comes with a 10,000 milliamp power bank. And also, they also provide a waterproof cover to help ensure belongings stay dry. This is going to be a really cool backpack.
That's a lot in one.
I'm not talking about several backpacks. I'm talking about one backpack.
I know.
This is insane. So if you go to their website, they have an awesome pre-order special going on right now for subscribers. You get $55 off. So that means the retail on the solar pack is $195. You'll get it for $150.
Yeah. It's seriously sweet looking because it doesn't have like those, you know, the little fold out solar things and then you roll it back up, stick it in your bag.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Like an idiot.
The whole back is like a freaking just idiot. Like a sewn in solar pack.
So
solar windshield.
Solar windshield. Yeah, so check them out. It looks really, really cool, and we should probably have one for review at some point, so we can't wait to bring
that to
you.
That'd be fun to touch.
Yeah, sure.
It's a mad, mad world.
Ooh, it's going to be so much fun to touch it. Oh, my gosh.
I really want to touch that pack.
I can't wait to touch your pack.
So,
Cameron, it's such a mad, mad world out there right now.
Super mad.
So I don't know if you've been seeing what's going on in Puerto Rico, but it is like legit apocalypse there right now. Like, seriously, brah.
It is, man. I feel bad for those peeps.
So, statistics as of like yesterday, I think, 97% of the 3.4 million residents were still without power. That's everybody. I mean, that's everybody. 1 week after Hurricane Maria slammed into Puerto Rico, the governor said about half the residents do not even have running water.
Jeez.
So, obviously, a very good reason to be prepping those types of things.
Yeah, it's now...
What's that?
I don't even want to say that I'm all... Now it's going to be called Porto Poro.
That was stupid.
Rico.
Yeah, I get you. I get
you. It's Porto Poro now.
Yeah, it was a horrible joke.
I know, that's why I laughed. It's like, this is, I don't even know why. I shouldn't even share it, because it's so freaking cool. That was a good joke.
I really agree with you. You shouldn't have shared that.
So how about Korea and the U.S. hating each other, huh?
North Korea. South Korea, we're good buds with.
Korea in general. You know, nobody likes Samsung.
Really? I have a Samsung TV. I like it.
Anyway. So, yeah. Exchanging some hot words.
Yeah, they are.
Hostile.
Yeah.
They hate each other. You know, Trump.
Trump and Rocket Man.
Yeah.
He's been calling him Rocket Man.
Anyway, yeah, they stepped up their game. They said, we're going to shoot you down in international airspace.
Yeah, if that seriously happens, this is not good.
Stupid, man.
It is not good.
Freaking both. Anyway. So, yeah, I mean, doesn't the doomsday clock be at what, like 30 seconds?
It's like
30 seconds to midnight?
It's like 1 second to midnight at this point.
Oh, man. So, yeah, kind of freaky. But I just wanted to, you know, in general, just all the chaos, man, in the world.
It's bad.
You know, Puerto Rico, you got hurricanes, like, what has it been, like 16?
Yeah, like 82 by
and then
this
spitting
end of
off tornadoes from it. That's like Sim City game. Yeah, I know. We'll start fires
here.
We're going
to turn the disasters off, man.
I know. Just like all this stuff happening. I mean, and I just read like two islands are being evacuated for volcanoes. I'm like, man, Mother Earth's pissed off.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, you know, it just makes you realize, you know, you really need to have multiple plans, you know.
Life is fragile.
Yeah. Hug your loved ones.
Yes, hug a tree.
I mean,
hug
Hugh Hefner died this week.
Oh my
today.
Gosh. Stop bringing that up.
Anyway, gosh. That dude's screwed.
Oh, literally.
He's dead, and
a
then
lot.
He's going to be dead up in heaven, too, whatever that means.
I don't know at all what that means.
He's just going to be floating out in darkness because nobody wants him.
No, everybody wants him. Come on. Everybody wants to be him.
So, having, you don't know if you're going to be evacuated. You don't know if you're going to be able to hunker down and have no electricity forever.
Yeah.
You got to be watching out.
Yeah, so just listen to the things we say.
Just get your friends to subscribe to this podcast because it'll save everyone.
We're here to save lives.
Yep.
That's all we're here for.
Nothing more.
Nothing more.
We don't get anything out of this.
What the hell do
the
we get out of it?
The possibility of saving lives. Not a thing.
Just that good feeling in my belly that we save lives. That's what we get.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cameron, apocalyptic transportation. So this, we have been really wanting to do this for quite some time. We've been procrastinating because it's kind of a big, it's kind of a big topic, and everybody's
there's
like
so many things. There's so many like specialists, and there's so many that are like that's like their thing, and
it's not really our thing. I mean, it's not like our specialty vehicles.
No,
and,
I don't have the money to do it.
No,
I don't have the money to get what I want,
nor the brain power.
Appreciate that.
Well, I was generally saying both of us.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, I'm not like a car guy. I don't know a lot about that type of stuff. But I do know about the apocalypse.
I do know.
I know about the apocalypse.
So we're gonna talk about first, you know, some features for your apocalyptic vehicle.
Yeah.
So this, like we said, this is
like an Instagram. We had people like, which one are you gonna take? So
yeah,
we want to give you the breakdown of key things on whatever you're going to go with,
yes,
you have to consider.
So, yeah, we're not going to give you the exact vehicle, make, model, year.
We're not going to be like, you're going to Winnebago and it up.
Could be cool.
That would be sweet.
Very cool. Very cool.
But
so, features, Cameron. The first one I think is pretty key, and maybe people will not agree with this, but I think four-wheel drive
is key.
I totally
agree with it. I agree with you.
You do?
Yeah.
We're in agreement.
All-wheel drive or four-wheel drive?
Yes.
It's a must.
It is a must.
I think it is.
So there's several reasons I think that this is probably a good idea. So
all four tires are going to be turning.
Yes. It's better to have four tires than two or one.
Right.
Roads will become congested and clogged in the first hours of any apocalyptic situation. So it doesn't matter. This could be short term. This could be long term. This could be anything. The roads are going to be nuts, right? So you want that ability to maybe go off the road.
Right.
Right? So four-wheel drive.
Right.
Good idea.
Super good idea.
Okay.
The goodest idea.
Mm-hmm. So maybe your apocalyptic scenario involves an EMP, and we all know that possibly an EMP could make every car just sort of inoperable where it stands when that EMP went off.
Yeah.
Say Rocket Man decides to send that, you know, nuke over top of the U.S. and... You know,
maybe
bomb
he wants to splash a rocket in the Atlantic because he's been shooting him in the Pacific for so long. So he's going to send it over us.
So if that does happen, if an EMP does happen, the roads will be like littered with cars, basically.
Right.
Right. They're going to be stopped where they were at. So the roads could be unusable is what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say.
I gotcha.
And also, you may have been unfortunate enough to have the apocalypse come in the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
And so... You know, here where we live, there's a lot of snow in the winter, and we have to have snow plows to go and clear those roads.
Right.
Those snow plows will not be
like, you know, even if it were, you know, a nuclear fallout, mm-hmm. like snow and all that stuff just comes at the wrong time, you know.
Exactly.
Like July it snows because you've screwed everything up.
Well, you could have 3 feet of ash, too. You
that
know,
too,
I mean,
yep.
it could be a volcano, you know, Yellowstone could blow.
Yeah. Did you get Goodrich tires that go good in ash? That's something to think about.
Oh.
Your Ash Series Goodrich tire.
Yes, I want them Ash tires right
now. So anyways, so I really think four-wheel drive is something you need to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What's next, Cam?
You want to have something reliable. You know?
Yes.
You don't want a junkyard. You know, I got this old 1970 pickup out here.
Yes.
It doesn't run very good, but that thing is going to be something
else. Yeah, it
else,
doesn't
you know?
Run.
Or it's got 2,000 miles on it that you're...
Yeah.
2,000. That would be great.
It only has 2,000 miles.
200,000 miles.
Yes.
You know, I don't drive anything over 2,000 miles anymore. I change it out. That's pretty much the American way now.
It is, really.
Anyway,
is.
Yeah, you want something that you know. Like, for example, I'm working on a truck right now. I'm not myself.
Yeah. No, because you don't have the brain power.
My brother-in-law is a stud, and mm-hmm. he knows everything about trucks. So... He's rebuilding it. I mean, I'm getting a brand new engine put in it and everything because I want this thing. I don't care what the body looks like. You know, it's got an older body. Mm-hmm. You know, little pear shapes, a little mm-hmm. bit big on bottom. It's okay.
I like it that
way. It's okay.
Way.
Mm-hmm. But
so what? You want to tell them what you got?
I got a 77 F-150 Ranger. It's a sweet little pickup.
You're gonna see
short
it soon.
Short bed, you know, short wheelbase.
Y'all will see it soon. It's gonna be like the casual prepper's
We're
like
pretty
vehicle.
Much use it in our videos.
Yeah, it's gonna be our little mascot.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah. So, but I want. I've he's going through everything. You know, brake lines. He's going through brand new. You know, starter, brand mm-hmm. new water pump, brand new radiator. Like I want that thing to have no mechanical issues.
Yeah.
I could care less if the bed falls off from it or doors fall off. As long as this thing keeps driving,
yeah, you're
that's
good to
the
go.
Most important, right?
Exactly.
You
so
can
yeah,
weld stuff on
reliability.
So yeah,
very important.
So, I mean, that and that, I'm not saying brand or anything. You just need something that you know,
yeah,
it has been well maintained and is going to, it's like a pair of shoes. You don't want something with your toe sticking out.
You don't. It's not a good idea. No. Anyway. You want something that's been proven, too. You don't want to get like a DeLorean where there are like eight made and like, you know what I mean? We're going to talk about that later, actually.
A so DeLorean?
Yeah.
Sweet.
No, we don't actually specifically talk about DeLoreans.
Oh, cool. I was like, wow, where'd you put that in the notes?
You made a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Yeah. Why even piss with all this stuff when you could go back in time?
Exactly.
Or forward in time.
So the next thing we think you need to look at is fuel economy, right?
For sure.
So
I look at it now, but I...
Yeah, you do look at it.
It's hard to...
Yeah. So, you know, what I wrote down here is you're going to be much more mindful of fuel economy as you're sucking on a rubber hose and lugging gas cans around. Seriously. You know, you're going to want something
that... constantly having to find fuel.
Oh, exactly. It's going to suck. So, you know, we say four-wheel drive, but fuel economy is usually not as good with four-wheel drive vehicles. So you just kind of have to find your happy medium with all this
maybe
stuff.
You want a Subaru Outback all-wheel drive.
Maybe you do.
A little better gas mileage.
Better gas mileage. Yeah, so fuel economy is a big deal.
It is a really big deal.
It becomes a bigger deal in the apocalypse because you can't go down to Chevron and just grab some Chevron with Tecron.
Right.
It's hard to do. Right?
I'm only putting Tecron in this.
I will not. I do not care how many zombies are coming. We'll only put Tecron in my...
Screw this. Super. I don't want it. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably a good thing to look at.
Very good thing to look at. Mm-hmm. Other thing is capacity. You know, you get a one-seater, you know, single-wheel car. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to be able to take it's anything
like,
or anybody
like
with
I put
you.
In the book, like, don't pick a Mazda Miata. Yeah. It's not a good idea.
No. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not a good idea.
So, you know, that kind of... opens up to a bunch of different types of vehicles, you know, vans and, you know, things that you're going to be able to carry both.
Yeah.
Your supplies and, you know, your loved ones.
Yeah. So
your
that's
pets.
This. Obviously, you have to tailor this to what your situation might be. So if you're a single dude and you'd want to go lone wolf it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe you don't worry about that so much. But if you got like three kids and a wife.
Right.
Most likely, you're going to want to bring them with you
right.
when you're going. So,
but, yeah, and you're really going to want something that you can be able to, you know, scavenge and bring stuff back, you know. And
exactly.
You know, so, you know, if you're having the Geo Metro?
Yeah.
Probably not the best.
Probably not, but the fuel economy is going
to
be great.
You're going to be driving forever.
Yeah, so you have to think about that.
But, yeah, it really is something you need to consider in terms of, you know, transporting you know, people and goods and things like that. For sure.
So the next
or
thing,
sleep in.
Yeah, well, yeah, you might have to spend a night or two in it, depending on your situation.
Yeah.
You know.
Totally.
You know. So the next thing is commonality, and this sort of actually means, you know, is it a popular vehicle enough that if you need to find parts, that you're able to do that,
right?
You know, in your area. So here, you know. It might not be a good idea to have a Ferrari for your bug-out vehicle or your apocalypse.
Or a Saab.
Or a Saab, yeah, exactly. Or even, like, you know, some of the German-made vehicles are tough to find
Mine
parts.
Sucks, and it's,
yeah.
You know, it's not new, but...
And trying to, like, fix those parts is tough, too. You don't... Who the hell knows how to do
it
that?
It drives me nuts.
You know?
Yeah.
So...
I know. Well, first thing, we got to find a Volkswagen company before we continue on our journey.
I know. We need the Hitler head screwdriver.
And that was something that I'd been looking, you know, for a truck that parts are pretty easy, interchangeable with these standard motors and these old vehicles, you know.
Exactly. So that's something you need to think about. And if you do, it's probably a good idea to have a manual for your vehicle. Because you can't just call the mechanic to get stuff
like
fixed.
Like a manual transmission? Such a good idea.
Well, no, that's not exactly what I was trying to say. A manual for fixing your vehicle.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
How about what we just talked about, like age of having more available parts, EMP proof.
Yes, and this one is, it could be a huge
so
deal.
It's kind of, you know, it's not clear cut on this.
It is, it's not even close
really
to clear cut.
We really have no idea what, you know, maybe your 2007 Camry is going to be okay.
It could be.
Maybe.
And they actually did some tests. I wrote about this in the book. They did some tests. I think it was like 2004 or something like that. Or maybe,
they did it that recent, huh?
Yeah, there were some recent tests. And they put them in a controlled environment and had them running, right, like, with all their lights and stuff on, and then they had an EMP go out, like a short, you know.
Like some towns in Mexico,
yeah,
city?
Yeah, exactly. No, but most of them, some of them stopped running for a second, but they came right back up. Some of them just had some weird stuff go on with the lights or the dash lights, but none of them were immobilized.
I'm sure the check engine light will come on no matter what.
Oh, absolutely. So what we're saying is this: it isn't for sure that your vehicles aren't going to work,
right,
but it's a good idea to think about it in case, right, that does happen.
The chances are probably a lot higher with those old ones that are just a freaking engine.
Exactly.
You know, there's no computer components. There's very minimal electrical wires.
Exactly.
All that.
So the conventional wisdom says to pick a vehicle manufactured before 1980. So after that, they started using, you know, like solid-state electronics and stuff like that, which are more vulnerable to EMPs.
Vulnerable.
Yeah, so, you know, pick a car before 1980 if you can.
Right.
It's only going to help.
Yeah, so take your Model T, lift it.
Yes.
And, you know,
put the Super Swampers on it.
Yeah.
And get
going. And you are safe. Nothing's going to touch that.
Exactly.
Thing. So, even if it's a steam engine, you know how cheap steam is?
Oh my gosh, it's so cheap.
Water's like everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a steam engine.
Good idea.
Really good idea.
Good idea. So the next thing we need to think about is gas versus diesel engines.
This is a little controversial.
It is. Yeah, I mean it is, but maybe it isn't. So I wrote down
I'm saying
some,
it is, so
okay.
It is.
Cameron says this is very controversial.
No, I don't think it's real. But you know, this is a hard decision.
It is. So I wrote down some pros for each of these. And why don't you make the decision on your own, people?
Me?
No, well, yes, you. But I'm talking to our listeners out there. Maybe you guys should make your own.
Oh, me. Okay.
Oh, well,
let me
write
tell
this
you
down.
Right.
Let me write this down. So here's the pros for gas vehicles, right? It'll be more widely available in the US when SHTF, right? There's gonna be plenty of places and opportunities to scavenge for gas.
Yeah.
Because most of the vehicles out there are gas powered vehicles, right?
Unless you live in Vernal.
Unless you live in Vernal, and they're not.
They're all diesel pickups.
Yeah.
That go out of the oil field.
Anyway. You know, and you probably already have a gasoline powered vehicle, so you don't really have to go out and find something new. Okay. So diesel, there are some actually really good positives to diesel. It will keep longer than gasoline. So storing your fuel is going to be much easier. You don't have to switch it out as long. And the fuel is going to last longer that's sitting out there in other vehicles after the apocalypse happens, right?
Right.
You're probably going to have shorter lines in the immediate aftermath of any situation than you will at the gas pumps. The diesel pumps will be shorter. There's just not as many of them on the road.
Right.
Which it can be a huge benefit in like hurricanes and things like that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Mucho grande.
Yes. The next thing is diesel engines can actually be adapted to run several different types of fuels like biodiesel, vegetable oil, and heating oil. They may take some minor engine adjustments, but they can be done. So that is a huge benefit.
So one thing on that too, though, a gas engine can run diesel mm-hmm. when it's diluted down. You know what I mean?
Wow.
You run gas in a diesel engine, it's done.
Yeah, it's done. Okay, well, that's
so
good. Good
so
to know.
You could, you know, limp your gas engine along a lot further with diesel.
Okay,
so,
well, that's good to know.
Found that out mixing it on the farm when I shouldn't have.
Oh, but, no, really?
Yeah, it just burns really rich, and, you know, obviously it's not going to be good for the engine long term. You can actually burn diesel in there, though.
So. Yeah, fantastic. The last thing is there's going to be, like, these mechanics that are going to go, well, these idiots have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't fill up your gas engine with diesel and say, casual pepper shit is fine.
Yeah, don't do no
this
shit.
Looks like it's cheaper today, so I'm going to burn half and half.
I'm just going to, you know, put some water. I got a water
just
bottle
run both
on here.
In there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, you know, I'm just saying that
it can be done.
It can be done. Just don't put gas in a diesel engine.
Exactly.
Done.
And the last thing, which I think could be a big thing, too.
I know some mechanics are like, oh, I'm done with this podcast. Yeah. These guys.
Subscribe. So the last thing is if you have a diesel engine, you can siphon from those large big rigs.
You're going to break your, what's that one, the one car part that you always, the made up car part?
You're going to break your Johnson rod in there.
Oh, you're going to run diesel in a gas engine, you're going to break your Don Johnson.
Your Johnson rod
your
will be
Don
gone.
Johnson rod.
Don Johnson rod. Right. That's awesome. Anyways, I'm trying to get to this last point, Cameron, on
Go
this
ahead.
Diesel engine.
Finish it. I'm sick of listening.
You can, if you have a diesel engine, you can siphon from the large big rigs after any, you know, anything happens. There's going to be big rigs everywhere, and those those fuel tanks are humongous.
They're giant. Yep.
And also, you had mentioned
like farm equipment.
Yeah.
You know, the dump trucks, the tractors, they hold tons, you know. Mm-hmm. I get 50 to 100 gallons, you know.
Mucho gallons.
You know, both fuels taste horrible when you put them in your mouth. I found that out the hard way, too.
So there's no benefit either way there.
So it doesn't matter. If you prefer the taste of gas, then go with gas.
Gas will get you
higher. I swallowed a whole bunch one Christmas, and it was a miserable one. Not on purpose.
What the hell?
We had old gas in a snowmobile, and I was like...
What were you doing?
That's disgusting. Everybody's turning this off right now.
You were siphoning.
I got like a ton in my stomach, and we had to call poison control.
What'd they say?
As I was out in the snow, like gagging myself to throw it back up, they're like, first thing you want to do is not throw it up.
You're like,
yeah, I was all, because you get in your lung, it's bad. Yeah. But yeah, your body will take care of it. But it was like, I was burping up gas for like 5 days. Oh, I was like, every burp, I was like, oh, man.
Like, walking around, like, I got gas, like literally.
You smell that? Combustion?
I'm going to show you a little bit of combustion right now.
Yeah, it was a horrible Christmas. We were sledding. I was burping up gas all day. It was pretty fun.
You want to see me light my
burps? The thing is, like, no more than like 15 minutes later after I'd done this, my dad came in. He's all, I just siphoned it out and got it in my mouth, too.
Oh, my gosh, man. What the hell goes on at the Hardy Farms?
Yep, siphoning gas out of our snowmobiles.
Oh, that is awesome.
Anyway.
Okay.
Little nonsense. Completely useless information for everybody there. I apologize.
Moving on to accessories for your apocalyptic vehicle.
Yeah, so you could get crazy with this category. Things that
you could, but then you also didn't. You don't have to.
Right. You don't have to be crazy about this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just threw in some things that are both like pretty cool, like little things to have that I think are, you know, super useful.
Mm-hmm.
And other things that I think are really necessary to have, like a winch.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are like critical to have on whatever, you know, vehicle you have, if you can, you know.
Yes.
Like, put one on your Oldsmobile Omega.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oldsmobile Omega. Yeah.
I think they come with a winch, but I'm not sure.
The later models did.
But yeah, you know, you can get out of a pinch in those. Mm-hmm.
Get out of a pinch with your winch.
Nothing better than getting out of a pinch with my winch.
Hey, we're in a pinch. Get my winch.
That's a good bumper sticker. Get in a pinch, get your winch.
Uh-huh.
They have a winch anchor, you know, if you're, say you live where we do, in the middle of the desert where sagebrush probably won't be the best thing to tie on.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. You know, it's called a pole pal. You stick it
pretty
in.
Pretty cool. It's called a pole pal.
You know, and this is, I made one myself. No, but...
I got one. It's cool. It's pretty cool.
Like a pole buddy. It's like a pull friend.
Pull buddy.
Anyway, it's like an anchor. And you, like, when the winch pulls it in, it pulls itself deeper.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Anyways, look it up.
Sounds
look
highfalutin.
Look up a winch anchor pull pal.
Sounds highfalutin.
Tire pump and siphon, like we were talking about.
Yes.
They have, like, those dual, like the one that BattleBox gave us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could pump up tires and it was a siphon. Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Pump
pretty
up
cool.
A blow up mattress, too.
Or
super important.
Sex doll. Pump up anything.
Yeah, exactly. First thing I was thinking of.
That's what I thought.
Well, I need to blow my sex doll up and my tires.
Well, you got it here in quotations. Sex doll pumper.
No,
yeah, I'm seeing. I'm looking at it.
He's not.
He's not really. I'm lying about it.
So an X jack is a high lift jack. You know,
yep,
most hardcore Jeep dudes have one on their. You know, on the top rack.
Yes, sir.
There's multiple uses for these other than just lifting. And, you know, you can use it as a come along. You can use it as a spreader to, you know, if you roll over and you have to bust a door open or something.
And you hit somebody with it.
You can. Freaking yeah.
Yeah.
They have an X jack, an air jack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So those are pretty cool. They're like a big old balloon you blow up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can get your, you get yourself out of pinch without a winch.
Yeah.
Jerry can, obviously. Better way to carry fuel than plastic.
Yes.
Because those little Walmart ones, they basically, mine, I think all of mine have imploded.
Yeah, they do that. Like, yep.
And then they bust the threads off from your top. I'm trying to get this out, but it's not coming out very smooth. So there's a cool thing that I saw in a magazine. It's called Max Tracks. It's like a really long nylon.
They take tracks to the max.
They do, man. It's cool. It's got some like really aggressive spikes on it. So you can throw it down over like a gap or in the mud. Basically, you don't have to stick a bunch of sticks and weeds and crap if you lose traction.
I see.
And it's, I mean, it's super durable and it snaps back into shape. So you can, I would have one.
You would.
I don't, but don't. I want one.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you can use it.
Max Tracks, if you're listening, send us one.
Yes, please do. You know, tire chains.
Yes.
Those are huge for all kinds of different terrain. If you have a plow on your truck, leave it on there.
Don't take it off.
Because those are useful if you're pushing vehicles off the road, you know, and you don't want to damage
running into
the
hordes of zombies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or maybe people are shooting at you, just lift it up and block them.
Beep, 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 beep.
On, what was it? What's the lethal weapon where they had the armor piercing?
Yeah.
Remember the bulldozer?
Yeah.
They're like using it to stop the bullets. You never know.
Lethal
people
weapon.
Could be shooting armor-piercing bullets in the apocalypse.
They absolutely could.
A tow bar or a trailer hitch. You know, having those, there's you don't always have them. Like my Touareg, I just barely put one on there.
You did.
And I'm glad I did because it's going to save my life.
It absolutely
But, you know, there's so many things. There's little attachments for carrying motorcycles, which we'll talk about later. Pulling a trailer. Through tremor infested territory.
Yeah, that's right.
Tire repair kits and spares. Make sure your spare is good because a lot of them are flat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll talk more about like the bug out vehicle on the bug out vehicle episode of like really detailed hardcore stuff like beadlock tires and stuff. Just things to consider. If you're going to drive on a flat, those beadlocks are sweet.
Yeah, my dad's got beadlocks on his Jeep.
Oh, your dad does?
He told me.
Well, my dad has a beadlock on two Jeeps.
My dad beat your dad with a high jack, high man jack.
My dad has a beadlock on his truck and his car. Better than your dad.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, anyway, there's a lot of these little accessories that can get you a lot further than just, you know, whatever vehicle you got.
Word up. Hey, guys, real quick, let's talk about the 3%er, guys. The 3%ers are all diehard American patriots who craft pro-gun, patriotic, and American Revolution-related apparel. They are extremely passionate about what they do, and everything is made to order in-house. Go to the3%er.com and get the very best gear for any Second Amendment America-loving patriot. That is the3%er.com, and use code CASUALPREPPERS, and you will get a sweet little discount at checkout. And you're going to be happy about it. You're going to look sexy, and everybody's going to be happy.
Everybody that is around you will
not
be
just
happy.
You. Everybody.
Be like, where'd you get that shirt?
Hey, where'd you get that shirt? You got beadlocks?
Duh.
You got beadlocks in that shirt? What the hell? You trying to show me up, boy?
Do you have a dual tire pump and sex toy pump?
Well, I do, so whatever.
Cool. Right on.
So, moving on our tour of apocalyptic transportation, the next thing we want to talk about is sort of alternates to the regular vehicles,
yeah,
you know, in cars and trucks,
yeah,
and stuff like that. We're gonna talk about the gosh damn crotch rocket right now.
Yep, crotch rocket motorcycle,
motorcycles. So there's actually motorcycles are probably, I mean, the more I research it, they're probably the best way to go.
Yeah, check out Daryl on The Walking Dead or all of. Never mind, I won't ruin it for you.
Never mind. We don't want to get into
how about
spoilers.
Mad Max?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Those guys were freaking the worst.
They were. And they all had motorcycles.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so there's some really good stuff about motorcycles we want to talk about. The first thing is the gas mileage.
There's only two tires.
You don't have to worry about so many flats.
You don't need four-wheel drive.
You can only get two flats at once. You can get four flats on a regular car.
Yes, this is true.
So your standard fuel take on a motorcycle is anywhere from 2 to 5 gallons. It depends on the motorcycle. Okay, Cameron, I can't tell you exactly what your motorcycle has in the tank, right? So you have anywhere from 40 to 100 miles a gallon.
Have you ever seen Dumb and Dumber?
I have, actually.
Remember when they trade?
They trade what?
Oh, to get their bike because this thing gets
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
That so, was a genius trade.
That was a genius trade. It wasn't dumb or dumber. It was genius.
Yep.
So really, the gas mileage is going to be fantastic no matter what. You're going to get better gas
they
mileage
do. They
than
get
any
extremely
vehicle.
Good gas mileage.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And especially if you, you know, carrying extra gas on the sides.
Yep.
You know, you carry that gets you a long way.
It sure does.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Speed, agility, maneuverability, nothing compares to it, you know? Nothing. I was thinking that too. So, you know, they're super fast. They're maneuverable through in and out of vehicles that are, you know, dead on the highway or bodies that are dead on the highway.
Yeah.
You know, you can double or triple dead bodies.
Anything that's dead.
But you know, right over the top of everything.
Anything that's dead, you can go around them.
You can.
Or over.
You can outrun police.
You could, yeah.
No, but they, like getting around in town, I mean, even driving in buildings, you know.
Yeah, you could.
You can go.
Seriously.
It's just, there's nothing better.
There's nothing better.
Than a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add to speed and agility?
I think you got it covered, bro. Appreciate you. So
cheap apocalyptic thrills. True. Like I said, if you want to double or triple bodies, or you want to jump a fat ditch gap. But yeah, really crossing, you know, across the fields and everything where trucks just won't go.
That's right.
You want that bike.
Moving on.
What about doing, you know, Superman or double backflip?
Yeah, you can do all those things.
For cheap thrills in an apocalypse.
So the next thing is they're usually much easier to repair than most other vehicles, right? You don't need a doctorate in mechanical engineering to fix it most of the time. So
don't insult doctorates of motorcycle mechanics.
I'm not. I'm saying you don't. It doesn't. It's usually not as complicated of an engine. So, anyways, that's a good thing.
Screw it. Unsubscribe.
No. And the last thing is cost. You can usually get them for really, really cheap. So you could have one even if you know you're low on dough.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I rode two strokes in my younger years. When I was...
I rode like a 15-stroke. I'm going to be scared of you.
So, they're really, like, me in high school, growing up on a dairy farm, I could fix a 2-stroke
motor.
Could? Yeah. I used to rebuild them and everything. It really isn't that hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have YouTube back then.
Oh, my gosh. You're old.
Think about it.
You're so old.
I used to use the manual. I disassembled one completely, put it back together from the manual. I didn't watch a video.
Yeah.
Like all you little...
What?
Turds.
Oh, you little turd.
But yeah, they really are. 2-strokes are super simple. Obviously, a little more complicated because you've got to mix the gas and everything like that.
Right.
But but yeah, parts too with those, they're really not that hard to come by.
Yeah.
You know, there's always ATV or, you know, motorcycle shops in most towns. I mean, we got like 5 in this town.
So, that's all anyone rides is side-by-sides here, though.
Yeah.
Most people don't even have a vehicle.
And I don't know how to fix those.
Yeah.
And they're not as maneuverable, okay?
They're not. But they're not. Pretty good.
They are. We'll get to that, okay?
Actually, we're going to get to that right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, very simple to repair.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get... Oh, you didn't say anything about cost.
Yeah, I did. I actually just said... if you're low on dough...
They're really cheap. Okay, moving on.
So, the next thing in alternate is four-wheelers, side-by-sides, any sort of UTV, ATV, VTV, BTV...
UTV, bullet holes,
ORV, bullet holes,
bullet holes. If you know what that movie is,
I'll bet you 90% of them out there do.
They have to.
Yeah.
They have to. Yeah. ORV, bullet hole.
Drug dealers wouldn't be caught dead in those polyester wags.
Anyway, okay.
Anyways, four-wheeler, side by sides.
Those are cool too. Yeah. Pretty easy to fix.
I don't really want to talk
parts.
About it.
No,
I don't really care. Next,
bicycles. Yeah,
bicycles.
Human powered two-wheel drive devices. Yeah.
Super duper cheap. They're freaking everywhere. Most right.
Huffy's pretty cheap.
Yeah, Huffy's.
Mongoose.
We got the Mongoose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the typical average guy can walk 4 miles an hour. That's where you're going. But when you get on a bike. 15 miles an hour.
My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, you done...
That's 4 times as fast.
Almost 4 times. You're not quite there, really close.
Super close.
Yeah. So they're easy
to
fix.
Well, I push it up 1 speed higher to be 4 times faster.
Oh, you are such a badass.
I would flip it up into 10th gear.
Yeah, you would.
A 10 speed.
10 speed. So anyways, there's lots of shapes, lots of varieties. Off-road, hybrid, street bikes, all that kind of stuff.
There's like slimline.
Yeah. So that bike.
And you can carry a water bottle.
You can carry one. And someone on your handlebars.
And a bell.
And a bell.
Yeah.
And you get a banana chair seat. No. And streamers.
Number one first upgrade for casual preppers.
Yes.
Banana seat.
Banana seat.
And a spoke guard.
Yes.
So next. You don't tear up your ankles.
Next. Horses.
Cameron. Oh, you want pegs, too. You want.
Oh, pegs. Yeah, you got to have pegs.
You got to have pegs.
You'd that never will... make it without pegs.
You don't really... know how many survivors you will get out of an SHTF
scenario.
Get on
the pegs.
I got two pegs on the front and the back.
Get on.
Get on the handlebars and my banana seat.
Good gracious. You got like five people on your little Huffy.
You could.
Yeah. No. Next, horses, Cameron. What do you think about horses in the apocalypse?
They're a pretty awesome animal. I've never really rode one.
Haven't you?
No.
I've ridden lots of horses in my
grew day. Up on a farm and I didn't even
ride a horse.
Never ridden a horse.
I rode a horse almost every day growing up.
Good job.
Good gracious.
I rode it to school, tied it up. Yeah.
I rode it in my sleep. So
horses, how good's a horse?
They're actually really great because, you know, they can pretty much eat anything.
Go anywhere.
Go anywhere. Really, they can. They're sure-footed.
Be the man from Snowy River.
You could.
In the apocalypse.
Going down that really steep hill. And also, bonus, they're edible.
You sick freak.
I am a sick freak. But you can eat them.
Unsubscribe.
You can
eat
them.
Three different groups we've caused to unsubscribe.
We now have seven listeners, and we thank you all for being here.
They're horse cannibals.
We're not going to talk about horse cannibals. Listen to those peckers.
Sure, you ride it, and then you eat it.
Make sure you get to where you're going.
There's nothing
before
better.
You eat it.
It's like Candyland.
You could just cut off a chunk as you're riding.
Just riding along, eating its tail.
That's why you got eating its tail. What the hell are you eating hair for? That's disgusting, man.
There's a hard piece of caramel in the middle.
That's disgusting.
Just take a nibble out of the ear.
Remember how I talk about the line and we don't go over it?
Yeah. Just riding into town, take a little bite off the ear.
Yeah.
All right, horsey.
Oh, settle down. Settle down, Buck.
Settle. I have no desire to fight you. And then punch it in the face like Tom Cruise. Okay. Right.
Well, we really messed that one up.
Wow, we've destroyed this podcast. Nobody's listening anymore.
Next.
Dog sleds. I thought this was important to put in there.
I'm really glad you put
and
it in.
And I don't
there.
Have anything more to talk about.
Okay, let's just move on then.
Dogs and dog sleds.
Okay, next. Golf carts.
Also edible.
Also edible.
In certain countries.
You're and a sick bastard. We're not eating dogs.
Ethnic groups.
Yeah.
Okay. Golf carts are awesome.
They really are. So golf carts really are a fantastic option. Even
also can give you apocalyptic thrills.
They can.
You can lock the brake. Coming down
the hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got kicked off a golf course by doing that.
You huff
apparently, people don't want tire marks on the green.
Go out there and guzzle some gas and do some tricks on a golf cart.
Oh, yep.
So golf carts, you know, electric and gas powered, both can go for quite some time. You know, the electric ones can go 20 to 50 miles an hour or 20 to 50 miles on a charge. That's a long ways.
That is a long ways.
So, you know, your battery lasts 3 to 5 years. You have some sort of a solar charger. My goodness, brah.
You don't need no more vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the only one you need.
Next, Cameron. I don't know why that one's on there. Skip that one.
Foot?
Yeah.
You can get by on foot.
Duh. Okay. Next. Dune buggies.
So, that's, you know, they have like a variety of those. A lot of people think that the side-by-side's a dune buggy.
They would be incorrect.
Dune buggies are pretty bad, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Drug smuggling. But yeah, those suckers can go anywhere, man.
You're going to list off some things, and you stopped at drugs. You went drug smuggling, and then you just kept going to something else.
That's it. That's all they were built for.
They're great for drug smuggling. And also...
Moving on. But yeah, no, dune buggies, seriously, those suckers can go anywhere.
Especially on dunes.
Sand dunes, number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tractors with trailer. And this says in parentheses, my choice for in-town scavenging.
Yeah. So we've talked about trimmers how many times?
at least once.
A bulldozer or a tractor, you can pull a trailer and it doesn't matter if you have good tires. That sucker just get drug across.
Yeah.
But, you know, those tractors, those suckers are freaking huge. They're tall. You know, they can drive over cars. Mm. You can get in and out of most terrain, drive across fields, drive over people, over horses.
Hey, but seriously, you ran over my dinner.
If you have access to a tractor,
yeah,
you're going to be the happiest apocalypter.
I could just see you, you know, seriously, volcanoes I would love erupting and stuff, and you're just on your John Deere going through town.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Did you ever see that episode where the guy, like, built this big old fortress around his bulldozer and went into town and, like, was shooting out of it?
Episode of what?
It was like,
yeah, I don't know what episode. It was The Simpsons. Or what was it?
It was a real thing that happened. Mm. The guy built, like, he put, like, 2-inch steel all around his bulldozer, just drove it into town and was, like, shooting out of it and stuff.
Holy crap.
So if you're that guy.
Yeah, you're probably in jail or dead.
Yeah. But anyways. Anyway, bulldozers, tractors, you know, construction stuff, they'd be sweet to have.
Crane.
A crane, would be awesome. You could just in and out. You don't even have to.
Just swing in and out of town.
Could you drop the wrecking ball? I'm going to get that stuff down there.
Yeah, sure. Military vehicles, obviously.
There's some amazing ones if you live by a base and everybody's dead.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in there and you could just have a heyday.
Yes, sir.
But I'd love a military vehicle.
You would. You would be so happy about
it. There's so many different types. Tanks.
Yes. Humvees.
Humvees. Armored vehicles. APCs.
Helicopters.
Apaches. Apaches. F-16s.
Blackhawks.
F-22s. F-35s. I just spit all over.
I know. Stop doing that. The next thing you have is watercrafts.
Yeah, so I just put, you know, if you're in an area, you live by the Mississippi. You live by the ocean. You know, there's not a better way to get back and forth along the coast. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
I'd love to have a jet ski in a river.
You would, wouldn't you?
Not like a apocalyptic. I just want to have one. A apocalyptic.
A apocalyptic. That was a apocalyptic.
These are delicious apocalyptics.
I'll apocalyptics all night.
Have you done your mountain climbers and your apocalyptics?
All right, drop and give me 10 apocalyptics.
I'm going to invent an exercise that's an apocalyptic. It's for you survivors out there. Hey, real quick, I want to talk about survival boxes.
I'm so excited.
Because they are freaking awesome.
Yes.
So Survivor Box is the only subscription box packed with all of the essential survival supplies that you need for prepping to survive disasters or your next outdoor adventure. There are three different boxes to choose from, so sign up today and start getting survival boxes delivered to your door every month. How many months?
Every single
one. That's right.
One.
No contracts. You can cancel anytime you
want. Hey, can I cancel right now?
You can.
Can I cancel tomorrow?
Yes.
Good gracious.
Anytime, I said.
Oh.
Use promo code CASUALPREPPERS for your 10% off of your first box on any monthly subscription at survivalboxes.com.
If you guys haven't gone, I don't know what's going on with you guys. Seriously.
I'm not kidding. Check these guys out.
I don't get it.
If you are too lazy to store food, send it to your door every month and then you remember.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
I'm supposed to be prepping.
I wanted stroganoff, chili mac,
and
what's the other one we always get?
We always get
chicken rice.
Yeah.
Or teriyaki rice.
Right.
25-year shelf life.
Fantastic.
Usually get water,
mm-hmm.
some tools, some gear if you wanted that box.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
It's fantastic, bro.
You really should check them out.
Yeah. Survivalboxes.com. Use our code CASUALPREPPERS. Cameron.
Yes, sir.
We got a tack pack.
We do.
We are done, right? We're done with apocalyptic vehicles or transportation.
Unless you want to go into details on dog sleds.
I think we'll leave that. I mean, I think there's enough there for
an
entire
episode.
We're
going to do a dog sled episode.
Yeah. Dog sleds and a pop.
Alaskan apocalyptic.
what do we say?
Apocalyptic. Apocalyptic?
I don't remember what it was now. Gosh dang it.
Dang it, I should have wrote it down.
So, tack pack. We got a fantastic tack pack in the mail. Will you show these as I talk about them, Cameron?
I will.
Tactical Oatmeal Pistol Mag Carrier. It's worth $44. It says, get rid of the unwanted attention towards your crotch by getting that bulky magazine out of your pocket and into a tactical oatmeal magazine carrier.
That is pretty sweet.
It's a fantastic little magazine.
It looks like a pager carrier.
Yeah.
But it's not.
But it's not. It holds your mags, boy.
A magazine, not a clip. Mm. Thanks, Kobe.
You're welcome. The next thing is the Eagle Grit Hand Cleaner. $8. Industrial strength American-made hand cleaner. Fantastic stuff.
If you like hand cleaner, you're going to love this one.
Yeah, virtually, it removes any substance.
What?
Kills odor.
Did you say? Virtual?
Virtual.
Virtually.
Virtually. Next, Hoptic Bubble Level, $25. Awesome, awesome stuff.
Yeah,
there.
These things are sweet.
Yeah, anyone that shoots any kind of precision knows that Level Gun is an accurate gun. Get your Hoptic Bubble now.
There's truth behind that.
Next is the Switch View Eagle Eye, $25. Hunters, tactical shooters, competitive shooters, this is the item for you. The Switch View function and reliability. Right,
whoa.
Anyways,
whoa.
So it's really cool.
Slow it on down.
And that's it, man. TacPack.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, we appreciate TacPack. You guys should appreciate them. Go see them at TacPack.com. Use our code CASUALPREPPERS. You're going to get one for free.
If you're totally into guns.
Yeah, if you shoot at all.
You're dumb to not have a subscription to TacPack.
Yes.
It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
This one's going to be really dirty.
Oh, bro.
Not really. So, you guys should check out. First of all, I want to tell you, Kobe did the most bestest video.
Yeah.
Ever.
No doubt.
On how to use super glue to...
Yeah, we just put it up on our YouTube channel the other day. It's there. It's how to use super glue to close a laceration or something like that. I can't remember what it's called.
This wasn't a made-up video either. Kobe truly...
I did.
Almost lost his hand.
Almost lost my index finger.
Split it open, and I sealed it. Saved him.
Yeah, you did. So that's what we're going to talk about for our quick and dirty medical tip.
So I've talked about adhesives before. You know, they're great for scalp lacerations because you can use the hair, tie it, and glue. You can use it on multiple different types of lacerations if you don't have time to sew or, you know. But we're going to talk about when it's appropriate and not appropriate use super glue. Okay?
I'm excited. Yeah.
There's good times and there's no times. So, number one, I want to tell you about advantages of the adhesives over sutures.
Okay.
So, so it bonds in 2.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's quicker than that, honestly.
It is. The cheap crap I had,
yeah,
it was like 10 seconds.
Yeah, it was like literally 30 seconds.
It's actually ruined now because it's sealed shut in the stupid bottle.
Exactly, yeah.
2.5 minutes is the average for a medical adhesive.
Okay. Yeah.
So super quick. It's equivalent to the strength of healed tissue.
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. So if you want your skin stronger, just do another layer. Just like cover your body in glue. Yeah.
Yeah, one of those.
Can be applied using only topical anesthetics, so you don't need to poke yourself.
Yeah, that's nice.
So that's the sweetest thing about it.
Yeah.
It's just so sweet.
It is.
I use it a lot in clinic because kids get pissed off when you stick them with needles.
They don't like it.
So if I can, I use glue almost every time. Mm-hmm. 100% of the time, I use glue every time. Mm-hmm. Has faster repair times. You know, you can, boom, be done.
Yeah.
Get back out there. Obviously, patients do prefer it.
Yeah,
over sutures.
I'm glad I didn't have to get sutures the other day.
It's water resistant. So... you don't have to bandage it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times it's protecting. That's one of the main things, reasons we
did something.
It's the main reason we.
Yeah.
We covered it is, or we did your hands so that we could keep it protected from microbes and all kinds of different disgusting
things. It
has
amoebas in it.
Just watched that last week. One
so
of my
good.
Favorites.
So
Kobe's all time.
Yeah.
Well, one of his all time.
That's one of my all time.
And then, again, you don't need to follow up for removal. It just flakes off. Done.
Yeah.
Did you come back and see me?
No.
No.
It's all good, bro.
Yeah, it looks freaking fantastic.
Look, it's all good.
So, a lot of you, I know you're eager to know, when can you use Dermabond?
Yes, when?
Or
super glue.
So, you don't want to use it in these scenarios.
Okay.
If it's jagged, so if it's like a tear, I mean, you can, it just doesn't do as well.
Sounds
and it
good.
Probably needs to be sutured. So if it's jagged or the laceration is just a big mess, hamburger, you don't want to goop a bunch on there.
No, sir.
Bites, punctures, and crush wounds, do not use it on those. Those need to stay open.
Oh.
You don't close those, okay?
Okay.
If your dog or your wife bite you or your significant other, don't close it. By the way, human bites are the worst. They're the most dirty.
Are they?
Yeah. They're the most complicated.
Gosh dang.
Yeah. Humans are disgusting. I hate them. Yeah. Contaminated wounds, obviously.
But humans subscribe to the podcast.
I know. It's a dilemma. You guys are not disgusting.
We like you. You're the only ones.
So mucosal surfaces.
Oh.
So in your mouth, like wet.
Wet.
So inside your butthole.
I like your mucosal surface.
Don't put super glue in there. Or, yeah. So when we're talking about the mouth, the vermilion border is like where your lips end. And then you got the nasty, hair starting to grow.
I think that's where Trump wants to build the wall.
Yeah. So
he's going to make the mouth pay for it.
So the part of the lip that's got the wrinkles in it, you know.
Is that the technical term?
And on the inside of the mouth, you know, any of those mucosal surfaces that put off mucus, that's kind of the easy way to think about it.
Yeah.
It's obviously not going to work.
No.
It's too moist.
Don't put it in your nose.
Some moisture. Axilla, you know, you don't want to put it in your armpit or your perineum, aka your taint.
Don't put
it on your taint. You will hate it.
What did you do to get cut down right there, for one thing?
Right. So hands, feet, and joints, there are limitations. If it's on the flexor, you know, if it's on the back of your knuckle.
Yeah.
I don't do it in clinic, but out in the wilderness, I would do it.
Yeah.
It's just not going to, if it's splinted, you know, if you're going to keep it straight, it works perfect. But obviously,
if you move it, it's going to break.
It's going to break. And, you know, all those joints and stuff, it's not the best choice. If it's a bad cut, you really want to suture it. So just simple steps of using Dermabond. You can anesthetize if you want. I don't. And then prepare the wound. So like in the video, you know, we cleaned it. We irrigated it just like you would with sutures.
Yeah.
You know, get it as clean as possible before you're technically closing it just like sutures. You want to kind of push the edges together. You know, I didn't mention that. Anything beyond, there's a length. It says anything beyond, I can't remember. You know, I don't do anything over, yours was longer than 3 centimeters, but it wasn't, you know. You get those really long suckers, you know, that's too much glue and it's just not going to hold. But anyways, make sure that those borders don't have a lot of tension.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's just a little bit, you get the borders as close as possible, obviously, for healing reasons, so it can heal back together. Then you just open up your glue, and we showed in the video a nice way to do it. It's kind of like a welding bead. You know, you just run a little stream right across the wound itself, and then I use the tip.
Uh-huh.
Don't use the whole shaft.
Just the tip.
And I just use that to kind of lay that bead flat.
Yeah.
So it leaves about a centimeter and a half wide, you know, area of Dermabond or super glue. It just gives, it's more surface area to bond to.
Yeah.
It seals it better, you know. So definitely look at the video, because it's a lot easier to explain it.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to see.
You can see how I just, you know, I run a bead and then I run the shaft, as Kobe likes to hear.
Yeah.
I just run along there and kind of spread that bead out. And I do like 3 to 5 coats on there. I think we did like 2 on yours.
Yeah, 2 or 3.
Because I don't care about your life.
No.
And don't, you know, when you're applying that bead, don't push into the wound.
You don't want to get it inside.
You don't want it to be bleeding, because obviously it's not going to work very well. So you just kind of a little off to the side of one edge, run that bead, and then you just pass over it. And yeah, like I said, 3 to 5. So there you go.
Very
simple
cool.
steps.
Yeah.
To do it.
It's such a good thing to have in a med kit.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're out, like we said, hiking or
right.
Because it's just so easy to fix it right there.
It
took us literally like 3 or 4 minutes, and it was done. You know?
It's extremely useful on like the torso, the thighs, the calves, the forearms, upper arms, and the face, areas that are under a lot of high tension.
Sure.
And then, like we said too, scalp lacerations, it's awesome, because you know, you just pull the hair across, tie. I actually do it in clinic for kids. Moms are like super grateful, and then I'm like, hey, what are you doing after? Just kidding. I don't do that. My wife don't listen to this.
No,
I was just kidding.
She doesn't.
But yeah, I would pick up a bunch of super glue, because it's super easy to use, has multiple uses.
Yeah.
And you'll love it. It smells great.
It does.
Burns your nose holes.
Yeah. It's almost like drinking gasoline.
Stings the nostrils.
Go check out the video because, yeah, like we said, it's a lot easier
all
to tell
is like,
on the video.
Yeah.
It's all easily viewed
and you will remember it forever.
Yes, you will. Hey, guys, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed yet, what the hell? Go subscribe now, please.
I just subscribed to YouTube today.
You did, didn't you? Like, I get an email. It's like, Cameron Hardy is subscribed. I'm like, what?
I was like, great. Kobe's going to see that.
Kobe's going to see this. I haven't even subscribed
to
our own YouTube
channel. I subscribed to our own, but I was subscribed to our
Basement Nation
Outdoors. Our Basement Nation that we do for BattleBox.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, crap.
Anyways, yeah, go subscribe there. Subscribe to the podcast. Go like us on Facebook and Instagram. We're always going live on Instagram, so if you want to see us, that's a good place to go.
We're there for y'all, yo.
Go.
We do this for you.
Go enter the giveaway that's going on until October 2nd, 2017.
Seriously, you'll want that backpack. You check it out.
No, not the backpack. I'm talking about the Gerber knife.
Oh, yeah.
Go check out iconic.inc, too, on Instagram, though. They're really cool. Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't have revealed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, guys. We'll see you later. Bye.